Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR on this, again, Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? How you doing?
Today you got the plaid jacket on.
A plaid jacket and a flower shirt.
A plaid jacket. You know,
because they match. You know, the colors. The
clashes, though.
Yeah,
clash?
The patterns. Are you supposed to do that?
Yes.
Flower pattern with plaid?
My wife gave me permission.
Well, I'm not arguing with wife.
Well, that's okay. You do need wife permission.
That's true.
Yes.
Wear a flowered shirt with a plaid jacket.
I'll bring a note next time, I promise.
Listen, as one male to the other, I don't care really about doing that. But that does mess up a lot of people's idea of what's appropriate to wear.
Yeah.
In terms of clashing, right?
Now, I am not a style fashionista.
That's true.
In fact, I'm ready to get on the road here, so I'm dressed for comfort.
Uh-huh.
But even when I quote unquote dress up, I have to go to my wife and say, this goes together, right?
Right. I go to my wife, Allison, and I say, does this make me look fat?
That's not really a guy question.
No.
I don't believe you on that one.
Just make me look fat. No, you can be honest. No, I really
don't. Young men who are just now married, don't fall for that trap. You can be honest.
Do you like
you cannot.
Do you like the TV commercial with Honest Abe?
Yes.
It's the one with Abraham Lincoln, and it's doesn't have sound.
It's a progressive ad or something.
It's just got the words, and it says Abe Lincoln and his wife is asking
Mary Todd,
Does this dress make me look fat or look big or something like
and
that?
And he's Honest Abe.
He's Honest Abe.
So he hesitates and hesitates and hesitates.
Right. And then he lifts up his fingers like an, you know, you would to show somebody an inch.
Just a little.
Like a tiny bit, honey. Just it makes you look big just a tiny bit.
And she storms off.
Of course, that's it for him. Huh?
It looks like a silent film. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
See, when my wife asked me that question, I just say, well, if you're really concerned about it, just don't wear deodorant because everybody looks smaller from a distance.
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
I always tell my wife, does it make me look fat? I say, listen, if you have concerns about your weight, lose some weight. You know.
No, you don't say that. I know you don't say that.
How's that couch feeling about there, Ed?
And then out loud I say.
Right.
You say, honey, it's about your personality.
Yeah, I don't say that either. She's got a great personality.
You just say.
I just say no. That's what every
That's
smart,
what you say.
Every
you say
smart
no,
husband
it
says.
Doesn't matter. That's the answer.
Yeah.
No. All right.
No, you do not. You look just as beautiful to me as the first moment I laid eyes on.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah.
That makes a good weekend right there.
Exactly. Huh?
All right, Steve, what do you got over there?
All right, well, I love watching the left lose its mind over Donald Trump. Trump derangement syndrome is
alive and well.
It is a real thing. So not everybody, but I saw more than a couple reactions to the following post that Donald Trump made on his Truth Social. I'm going to read it to you. Just for context, it was put out 2 days ago. And this is what Donald Trump tweeted out. The great Cassius Clay used to spar with me. Not many people know that because I don't like to boast. He could never hit me, though. Have you ever seen bruises on my face? No bruises. He used to say, sir, you are a great dancer, probably the best there has ever been. Also, thank you, sir, for sparring with a black man. He had tears in his eyes that day.
Trump
tweeted that out on April the 1st.
Oh, come on.
But I'm seeing some reaction from...
people responded to that as if it was...
Look at this man. This man can't be president. I thought that was really...
Wow. He said, what now? I'm sorry. Somebody text me.
This is Donald Trump. Now, this is not on... Is this Truth Social?
Truth Social.
Okay. The great Cassius Clay, so Muhammad Ali, used to spar with me. Not many people know that because I don't like to boast. He could never hit me, though. Hold on, I don't like to boast.
Trump said he doesn't like to boast. Is this an April 1
this
thing?
This is April Fool.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So, but the fact is, he says also, thank you, sir. He was speaking to Cassius Clay for sparring. No, Cassius Clay saying to him, thank you, sir, for sparring with the black man. He had tears in his eyes that day, and the left is going crazy because he's racially insensitive, I guess.
That was an April 1st joke?
Yes,
April
1 joke. I think I would give all my stories to Ed. It's a good reaction.
Yes. No, I knew when you were saying it, I was saying, oh, come on. Are you saying that the left responded angrily to that?
But I set that up, by the way, by saying it was tweeted out 2 days ago. I said it slowly.
Very, very slowly.
Yeah, but with Trump, you never know. I mean, he can be a parody of himself.
He can.
Oftentimes. Huh? Yeah, I mean, he
But I mean,
that wouldn't be surprising me if he didn't write if that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If he didn't write that.
Or frankly, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden just.
He imagines.
Joe Biden just makes stuff up and in his mind and goes with it. Yes. And it doesn't matter what it is, huh?
Right.
But I think Donald Trump can play the left like 3D chess. They're playing checkers, and
I think he, if he did that, or maybe someone on his staff, but probably him, he probably had in mind. Wait till you see how they react.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No, I agree. Biden, on the other hand, actually thinks it happened.
Yes.
Well, but Trump brags on himself all day, every day.
Yeah.
About everything. Sure. So you never know whether something like that is.
Right.
But sparring with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, yeah, that is taking it a little bit too. That's a pretty obvious thing there.
I would think.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you guys have been, did you guys talk about the polls last hour?
I don't know.
They're Polish people. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You need to be more respectful.
Yeah, you need more sensitive.
Can I buy a vowel?
I don't know. What are you talking about? The polls?
The Joe Biden, Donald Trump polls.
Go ahead.
No. Donald Trump.
You talk about them.
Well, a whole raft of polls have come out and Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden within the margin of errors in a lot of the battleground states. But the reason I bring this up is because Democrats are starting to get a little worried. And one of the things that they have done for as long as they've been trying to get voters out is they have gone on college campuses and they have hired college kids to register their peers. Now, if you're registering voters, you have to take all comers. You can't just say, I'm only registering Democrats. But they always thought it was a safe bet. If you go on a college campus, you're going to register voters, you're going to get Democrats. Well, according to a new memo out, there's been a shift. Roughly 1 in 5 citizens of voting age who are unregistered are leaning toward Republicans. And so now they're saying, we're going to be registering a lot of Donald Trump supporters. So they're trying to figure out how to tweak their scheme, their agenda here to get just Democrats. But this is what I found really interesting. I don't know where they come up with these numbers because they didn't elaborate on this. But this pollster, who is, by the way, from nonpartisan groups allied with the Democrat Party. I don't know what that means, nonpartisan,
it
allied.
It means nothing.
Yeah, right. But this is what this pollster said. He also warned that efforts to gain Democrat votes among younger and non-black people of color were often expensive, costing more than $1,200 per net vote in 2020, by one estimate. How do you come to that number? Every vote, you're spending $1,200 to get every vote of non-black people of color.
Okay, the only thing I can think of is that they are top-heavy in terms of whoever's overseeing the program. They're getting paid big bucks. How else could you explain
that? I don't know. Well, I guess it costs to put ads out. You target ads towards. Maybe that's what they're doing.
All right.
Among voters of color, he wrote, only African-American registration is clearly a prime opportunity, adding that netting Democrat voters among black people cost about $575 per vote in 2020. Do you know how many people voted for Joe Biden? I mean, tens of millions, 100 million?
Yeah.
Times that by $1,200 per vote. That's a lot of money.
But that's for new votes, though, right? For new registered voters.
Registered, yeah. And so it wasn't hundreds of millions, but, I mean, still, that's a ton of money.
Would be interesting to know how the money got up that high. Like you said, maybe they're running ads, or maybe they do have people running these outreaches and they're getting paid big bucks. But I don't know. That's a good question.
I've never seen it broken down by per vote, and I would expect any reasonable number to be, I could see maybe $2 or $3, maybe $5, $10 per vote if you're going to.
Right.
But $1,200 per vote, that is just ridiculous. And how is our president doing? we have often talked about his inability to string sentences together effectively for very long. Apparently, this goes back a little bit. Do you remember the ESPN anchor Sage Steele? Well, she has quit ESPN, and she's now starting her new venture. It's a new pre-taped show, and she was being interviewed. And this is what she talked about her time at ESPN and when she landed an interview with President Biden in 2021. She says she was handed a script that every single question was scripted for her. She could not go off script. They said she was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script. And so she talked about, this was the interview where it came out that Biden supported the boycott of the All-Star game in Atlanta. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, that was Sage Steele. Thank you, Brent. That was Sage Steele that got elicited that from Joe Biden. But every single question, she was not allowed to go off. And she knows that the C-suite at ESPN, the CEO and the top executives at ESPN, were behind this, and she strongly suspects that the White House was gave them the questions. They do not trust this man to be out in front of people talking.
Well, listen, that's I don't doubt that is who was behind it, because the White House and the staff there have, including during the 2020 election, you know, he was basically President Trump at the time was saying he's just hiding in his basement.
Right.
They were keeping him away from the public eye. And we've kicked around whether or not we think Joe Biden will actually debate. I don't think he will. But I am not surprised that her interview is entirely scripted, because the mainstream media and ESPN is fairly political and they are fairly left. And so I would not be surprised if there was collusion between ESPN and the Biden administration to script these questions.
Did you guys talk about the offer to debate with Donald Trump?
No. Oh, that he would debate anytime? Yeah, I think we did talk about that.
Well, yeah. So, you know,
we played some of the comments,
okay,
the clip from Michigan, I think.
And it's not like I wasn't listening the first hour, but I wasn't listening. I was preparing, right. And we had to.
You try to figure out the water, faucets.
I'm invisible. also, we had some visitors, very nice visitors that came by. We spent some time with them. But you know that Donald Trump refused to sit down with any of the Republicans. It just wasn't in his interest. He was leading by double digits.
Right.
And he could only lose. Well, he now figures, and I think he's right, he can only win with a debate against Joe Biden. He's putting the pressure on Joe Biden. Now, if you're the Biden campaign, you're kind of in a tough spot, because if you say, no, we don't want to give the man platform or whatever excuse you use for not putting your candidate up against him, they say, oh, you're scared. You know, I now see that you know he's not capable of doing it. And if he says, yes, I will debate, well, that's a wild card.
He can't. I don't think Joe Biden can stand up on a stage for 2 hours and think clearly enough to engage in a debate. I think he won't debate, but I think his excuse will be Donald Trump is a criminal. He's under investigation, and I'm not going to give a criminal or somebody who instigated, an attempted takeover of the government, insurrection, what have you. I'm not going to give him a platform. I think that's Joe Biden's probably Only option.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
What if he just says, listen, Trump didn't debate any of the Republicans. I'm not debating him.
I like that.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about that. That probably could fall into his playbook. Well, he didn't debate.
I understand why Trump didn't debate, but I'm just giving you a response from Biden that would work for most people.
Yeah.
To say Trump didn't debate any of his competitors.
Now let me.
So I'm not debating him.
I don't know if we talked about this off the show or on the show. Sometimes it's hard.
Maybe you weren't paying attention the first hour either.
No, it wasn't today. But what if RFK Jr. scores high enough or qualifies to be on the stage? I think it depends on the percentage of voters who say they would consider voting for him. You guys think, what would you guys think about a three-way debate?
I'm not voting for RFK. He got too many far-left issues.
Right.
He's very good on a few things, but Trump nor Biden won't RFK on there.
I agree.
On the stage. He's younger. He's more articulate for the most part. He's well-studied and well-versed on a lot of issues. He can go into depth and detail.
He's an attorney, so he knows how to argue.
It would not be good for Biden or Trump for RFK Jr. to be on stage at a debate. I'm just telling you.
No, I agree with that. And so you might have both camps say, no, we're just not going to have any debates. If RFK qualifies,
what is the threshold? 10%?
They can set whatever threshold they want.
Whoever's hosting the debate could.
Let me see what the latest.
And I'll tell you this, too. Most of the polls have shown that, I don't know what the percentage is, it changes, but there is a significant percentage of the American electorate that doesn't want either Trump or Biden to be in the race. So RFK Jr. is automatically the outsider that could draw attention from folks who don't want either Biden or Trump, I guess is what a third party candidate hopes for.
I've heard people say that he will draw more people from Biden than he will from Donald Trump.
Yeah, so, and to me, it's a toss up. I don't know. But anyway, I just threw that out.
I don't see any news.
We'll find out.
I just looked at news about qualifying for a debate, and there's nothing more recent than 2023, so they're not thinking about it at this point.
All right. What else you got?
All right. Did you see that? Of course, we talked about how Joe Biden declared Easter Sunday as the Trans Visibility Day, right?
Yes.
Did you see that now Donald Trump is saying, well, fine, you do that, I'm going to create a Christian Visibility Day?
Yes. Do we have him saying that? Or is this just a quote we have?
I think it was a quote. I do not have him saying that, but he said it.
In one of these speeches?
Either a speech or an interview with, like, maybe Fox Digital. But interesting, isn't it? I was reading someplace, stop me if this gets too monotonous, but I was reading someplace.
Oh, we will. Won't we, Ed?
Yes.
We're pretty good at stopping people if they get monotonous.
That's true.
Huh? Except ourselves.
So you got 30 seconds to catch our attention. Go ahead.
All right. Well, there's a guy named Jarvis who tweets out. He's kind of known among the conservatives on Twitter, and he says a lot of people are upset with Biden for declaring Easter to be Trans Day of Visibility. But to be fair, the date was selected only because the LGBTQ calendar is already getting pretty full. Listen to this. You have the Trans Day of Visibility, March 31st. Don't confuse that with the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is November 20th. Transgender Parents Day, November 6th. Trans Awareness Week, November 13th to 19th. International Pronoun Day, October 20th. Drag Day, International Drag Day, July 16th.
Like drag racing?
Yeah, probably not. Probably involves libraries and little kids.
It involves a lot of makeup.
Yes. Intersex Awareness Day, October 26th. Agender Pride Day. A as in not, you know, like agnostic.
Yeah.
No Gender Pride Day is May 19th. National Coming Out Day is October 11th. Omnisexual Visibility Day, July 6th. And I could go on and on. I got pages of this.
You read this list to us this morning and couldn't even get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is extensive, which it was part of the joke I made on Monday saying, yeah, it's a good thing we had a trans invisibility day because they're so invisible.
Right.
That was tongue in cheek there because they're everywhere on TV and in advertisements and commercials.
They are a marginalized group, Ed.
Well, I wish they were. Yes.
Right.
But they're not. They're everywhere.
And this is why.
Bud Light.
Yeah.
Bud Light used the.
Yeah. Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah.
And this is why Trump hit on the Christian Visibility Day.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes.
That's actually smart if you wanted to reach out to the Christian community.
So, yeah, you know, somebody will say, well, he's pandering for votes. He's just trying to get the Christian vote. Maybe, but he has a point when you get that many days on the confused sexuality days.
Right.
And Christians are kind of it's the only group you can continue to make fun of and with impunity without, you know, being called any names. So, all right, one more story?
Yeah, I think we get time for one more.
All right.
So depends how long it is.
You know, most states, when they come to primaries, if you win the state, if you get the popular vote in the state, you get all the electors from that state. That is except for the state of Nebraska.
And maybe Maine.
And maybe Maine. No, Nebraska's the one with the unicameral, aren't they?
I think that's right.
So
legislature.
They're kind of weird all over the place. They don't have a House and a Senate. They just have one legislative body. Anyway, someone did the math or the poll, and if Donald Trump got every single swing state and Nebraska voted like it did in 2020, a red state, he would still lose the Electoral College vote by one vote because Nebraska apportions out its electors. In other words, you can get two Republicans and one Democrat elector. Well, once they figured that out, Governor Jim Pillen issued a statement in response to he's supporting a bill, LB 764, that was introduced by Senator Lauren Lipscott, and it would reinstate the winner-take-all in Nebraska so that they're not it favors Trump if they do that.
Right. This election's going to be like 2020, like 2016. These elections going
the most
forward
important
are going to be, well, they're going to be very, very close.
Yeah.
And so one electoral vote could make the difference.
Yeah.
This is going all the way back to
they've been
20,
close.
2000
Our presidential elections have been razor thin for the most part since Bush versus Gore.
2000.
Remember the Hanging Chads?
Right.
Of course, they went on to stardom as a pop group.
The Hanging Chads?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, you remember that?
Yes.
Our whole country's election, it came down to...
Remember how we were all watching the news and those folks holding the...
Chads?
Holding up the ballots and...
Yeah.
That seems like a million years ago.
I know, right? But anyway, yeah, it's going to be close. So, anyway, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Ed and Brent Creeley, our producer, Fred Jackson, Abraham Hamilton III. Was anybody else on? I don't think so.
The plumbers who are coming to install our new faucets. We want to thank you. Yes, we're thanking you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We will see you next time.